Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book, the Gospel Record of Luke. The Gospel Record of Luke, and we find our way to the Gospel Record of Luke in chapter 19. The Gospel Record of Luke in chapter number 19. In the Gospel Record of Luke, chapter 19, is one of those chapters where once again, we as Christians should immediately know something about it. We know that there's great chapters in the Bible. Luke 19 is one of them. And firstly, it's with the story of Zacchaeus that's found in Luke 19. But we also find a very important phrase that summarizes the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So the Gospel Record of Luke chapter 19 is a very important chapter. But we're going to look at it as a whole, not only the story of Zacchaeus, but look at the comments of the Lord Jesus Christ after the conversion of Zacchaeus. Let's look at it together, starting at verse number 1. The Gospel Record of Luke, chapter 19, starting at verse 1, the Bible says this, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'd restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. And he said, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And the first came, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto them, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou shalt have authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto them, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, there here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a store man, and taketh up that which thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said, saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was in a store man, taking up that which I had not laid down, and reaping that which I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might require mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take it from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which I would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the gospel record of Luke chapter 19. The gospel record of Luke chapter 19, and notice with me in verse number 13, the very end phrase, "Occupy till I come." Occupy till I come. And with this, we have a very interesting parable told by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for us to get a good grasp of this, we have to also understand a little bit about what is occurring here within the gospel record of Luke chapter 19. The gospel record of Luke chapter number 19. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see this idea of occupy till it comes, just to kind of define our terms. Some people have a wrong definition of occupy, so let's define it. Some people think that occupy just means that I take up space, just to kind of occupy this area. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is meaning here. The idea of occupy carries the idea of being busy, of forward momentum, of doing something, of accomplishing what was given to us. Remember the ideas that it was given to servants, and we're in a Sunday school series of the idea of stewardship of life. It's not just maintaining. It's not just warming a pew. But the idea of occupy carries the idea to work, to labor, to do what you're supposed to until the Lord comes back. And we'll see that in the parable. But let's start off in seeing this. When Jesus Christ is giving this parable, there's a reason behind it. And we can see, first of all, the misunderstanding of the kingdom. The misunderstanding of the kingdom. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 11. The gospel record of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 11, it says, "And as they heard these things, he," Jesus, "added and spake a parable." And it's going to give us two becauses. Why is it that he gave this parable? Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they, the crowd, thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. Now, why was it that they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately? Well, it was because of the marvelous the conversion of Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was one of the most hated people because not only did he take money from people, but he also worked for the Roman government, who was the hated enemies. To the Jewish people, they saw the tax collectors, publicans, as collaborators. They were collaborating with the enemy government. And so with it, a tax collector by trade was allowed to charge whatever he wanted as long as it didn't cause the people to riot. And so as long as Rome got paid their cut and they didn't cause them to riot, a tax collector could charge whatever he wanted. And oftentimes they would. The Bible gives the occupation of Zacchaeus as the chief tax collector. The chief tax collector was the highest tax collector within the region. And the other tax collectors also had to give him a cut. And so he was the top of the food chain. He was rich. He got rich because he had extorted money from other people. And when he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, the most unimaginable thing happened. The tax collector said he was going to give away half of his money. And anybody he shortchanged, he was going to give them back fourfold. Well, that's a big deal. If you had someone who was rich because they were corrupt, all of a sudden announced that he knew Jesus as his Savior and he was giving his money away, you'd take notice too. I mean, that's one thing, is that you're not going to part money from someone who doesn't have a change of life. And so with this tax collector, the chief publican, all of a sudden start giving his money away and said, "I'm going to follow after Christ." People said, "Listen, it must be the kingdom. We're now entering into the millennial kingdom. We're now entering into Christ reigning. It's now here. Look, signs and wonders." All the Facebook posts says, you know, it's coming near any time now. Look, it's almost here. By the way, it's not. And this is another passage that kind of says that a lot of people think, oh, look, the rapture's happening any moment. Oh, look, the last times are coming. People are always looking for those signs and wonders. They're always looking for that. It's better than actually obeying the Bible. And so with all these people stirring things up, and look, oh man, when tax collectors get saved, you know the end of days is here. This is their Facebook post now of saying, oh look, the stars are aligned, or this happened here, or this, whatever they're imagining. But they're now, oh, it's here, it's now, it's come. So Jesus knew that they had a misunderstanding of the kingdom, and is now giving this parable to explain and the way they're misunderstanding and trying to explain what's going to happen. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is coming back and he will rule and reign, but it's not right now. We don't know when, but it will happen. And until that happens, we have a job to do, and that's to occupy till he comes. Which now brings us to a second thing, the meaning of the parable. The meaning of the parable. So we look at the context, starting at verse number 12. And he, Jesus, said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So here a nobleman, in this account, left where he was from, went to a foreign country for the purpose to prepare himself a kingdom, and then he was to return, which Jesus did. Jesus came from the glories of heaven, came to a faraway land to prepare himself a kingdom, and he returned. Hasn't received it yet, but he prepared for it. Verse number 13. And he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till he comes. So Jesus pulled apart several servants and said, I have a job for you. I'm coming back, but until I come back, I have a job for you to do. What is their job they're supposed to do? Well, remember the context. To see people not only saved, but to see their life changed. That was the direct context. That's what people are responding to, as Zacchaeus changing. What is the occupy till he comes? Knowing that our master is coming to receive a kingdom, our job is to work within the kingdom to see people truly come to know Christ as their Savior, and not just make a profession of faith, but bring them to the place where they actually have a change of life. That's our business. That's our job. That's what God has left us here to do. And if we're not doing our job, we're going to see what happens. Notice with me in verse 14, it gives the type of place that these people need to work in verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. So Jesus has some servants, and those servants are working in a country that Jesus eventually will receive as a kingdom. But until then, they're supposed to occupy to a come. And who are they occupying with? People that have sent a message after Jesus said, listen, don't worry about coming back. We don't want you. Is that the type of society we live in today?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. We don't want this Jesus to reign over us. We don't want him to come back. We don't want any part of him. And so they're not going to be very inclined to listen to his servants either. But what are the servants told to do? Occupy till they come. What does that mean? Working with people, not only to make a profession of faith, but to bring them to the place of a changed life. And so these servants are working in hard territory, in hostile territory. But it doesn't say, well, you know, if the people are too mean, then stop working. No, occupy till I come. Jesus said, I know how bad it is. I know what those people are like. I know that they don't want. But you know what the amazing thing is those people who hate Jesus can get saved and have their life where they want to serve God. Occupy till I come. That's your job. And so Jesus lined up servants and told them the whole thing, their job. Everyone's trusted with the same task. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Verse 15. And it came to pass when he was returned. So we know that eventually this is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. We are to be working until Jesus comes back. Well, when is Jesus come back? We don't know. Why don't we know? for the same reason why parents don't tell their kids when they're going to be back. Because they'll list, give them a list of chores, and if the kids know when the parents are going to be back, they're going to wait till the last minute to do the chores. But if they know the parents are coming back imminently, meaning that they don't know when, but is going to show up and it can be at any time, they're going to supposed to get the chores done beforehand. Does it make sense? Jesus doesn't tell us when. If he said that here's the date, no one would serve the Lord until the very last minute, and then everyone tries to get it all done. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He could come back at the end of this message. He could come back today, next week, 50 years, 100 years. We don't know. But until he comes back, we have a job to do. And that is to occupy till he comes. Not just hold space, but every person who's a servant of the Lord, who's born again Christian, has one job to do. That is to bring people to the place where they accept Jesus as their Savior and work with them until they have evidence of a changed life. That's our only job, to occupy till he comes. There is no such thing as being a spectator in the Christian life. God didn't save us to occupy a pew. He said, occupy till he comes. One thing that he has given us to do. But one day the master is coming back, which is the last one and where we're going to spend our most time, the meeting with the king. So Jesus is going to come back and he is going to give an account of all of his servants to see if they did the one thing they asked him to do. What was the one thing? To occupy till he comes. What does that mean? To bring people like Zacchaeus to the place where they've accepted Christ as their Savior and work with them to see the evidence of a changed life. Every Christian, every person who's born again will stand before God and give an account for what they did. Let's see what happens. Verse number 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the servants, remember, were only given £1 each. Now, £1 is a monetary value, but everyone was given the same task, for our understanding. He's given the same task. He's given them an account to see how well they occupied and did that account. So the first guy comes up for an accounting. And then came the first, verse 16, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. All right, Lord, you gave me one task to do, and I did this task, and look at what the results are. He gained 10 pounds in the parable that we have. Verse 17, and he, the king, who's received the kingdom, said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful, remember we covered this last week, that the job of a servant is to be faithful. And he said to them, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou shalt have authority over 10, what's the next word, class? Cities. And so we understand this is a millennial kingdom passage and that there's no exaggeration here, that part of what God is going to give to his servants who occupy till they come, the responsibility to rule over, to judge, to oversee cities within the millennial kingdom. We have an important task. He's looking for people to serve in his government. And we're in a long, lifelong job application to do so. And the requirement is for us to be faithful. Faithful in what? The task that he's given us to do. What is the task? To occupy till he comes. What is that? To bring people to the place of profession of faith and then work with them until they have evidence of a changed life. That's the one thing God gave us to do. And if we do that, there's a reward, a real substantial reward within his kingdom where he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. We get to serve with him in his government and he trusts us to continue to work. Notice, if you don't mind, verse number 18, we have a second one. And a second one came and said, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And like he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So here's another judge, one who came. God, you gave me one task. I did your task. This is what happened because of it. Jesus said, good, thou faithful servant. He says, because you did well, I'm going to give you 5 cities to overview. Because you did what I asked you to do. What did you ask me to do? Occupy till he comes. What does that mean? Just like Zacchaeus, bring him to the place of profession of faith and bring them to the place where they have an evidence of a changed life. That was the job. And Jesus said, you did well. Here's five cities. Good job. That's what you were supposed to do. And it goes down. It doesn't mention the other ones, but we presume, because they weren't highlighted, that they had been various occupations of faithfulness, and they were rewarded for their faithfulness. But then we come to the last guy. Verse number 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a store man, because thou hast taken up what thou layest not down, and reapest which thou did not sow. So here's another guy. Remember, he was given a job to occupy till the master comes. What does that mean? To bring people to the place of profession of faith and work with them until they have an evidence of a changed life. Zacchaeus was the example. But here is a guy who said, listen, I didn't do that. I occupied space. I buried it. I didn't do anything. He says, I was afraid. Now, we know this is an excuse, but notice he's blaming God. The reason why I didn't do what you told me to do is because you're not good. It's pretty dangerous ground to throw it back in the master's face. I didn't do it because I knew that I was going to stand before you. I didn't want to mess things up. He's given excuses. Because I was afraid what you were going to do if I messed things up, so I decided I wasn't going to do anything. Well, you messed things up. You were supposed to prepare the kingdom for the king to come get his kingdom. But nope, he did nothing with it. Put it in a napkin, he buried it, he did nothing. And he blamed the Lord. Now notice, as he blamed the Lord, God turns that back. All right, this is how you see me? Well, then I'm going to judge you based off of how you see me. That's always good. That should be a warning about our vision of God should be very, very clear. It says in verse 22, and he, the king, saith unto him, this unprofitable servant, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Why was he wicked? Because he was not faithful. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. God gave him a clear task, and he did not do the task that was given to him. So notice, thou knewest that I was in a store man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore, then givest not thou money into the bank, that at my coming I should require mine own with usury? He said, you should have at least done something with it, even if you didn't happen to go out and purposely try to win. You should have at least done something with it. And that way I could have at least got usury, something. But you did nothing with it, nothing. So here's the results. Verse 24, and he said unto them that stood by, remember this is a judgment time, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Listen, I gave you a task, you didn't do it, so I'm going to take it, I'm going to give it to someone else. I'm going to give it to the guy with the 10 pounds. And you could already hear the other people starting to protest. Wait a second. That guy, he's got 10 pounds. It's not fair. It's not right. Everyone should be an equal. Everyone should have the same result. No, not at all. The idea of true equality, by the way, is giving people their fair share. Yeah. So if they work for it, their fair share is fair. If they didn't work for it, their fair share is nothing. That is equity. That is true equity. Not making everyone equal. Not like our society says, and we see even here. That's not how Jesus plays by the rules either. He says, I was looking for faithfulness. You were not faithful. You didn't do what I asked you to do. You weren't there when I asked you to do stuff. You hid it. You did nothing. So I can't trust you. Remember, what is Jesus doing? He's looking for people to occupy in his millennial kingdom, to serve with him in his perfect government. Now, if I am a CEO of a company, don't I have the right to hire whoever I want? If I have some guy who doesn't work or doesn't know how to work, do I want him working for me? No. Especially when I give him all this time to prove himself, to develop those skills, to do something. If he doesn't let's say that I have a company and have a guy who doesn't show up to work. And when he does show up to work, he just stares at a computer, a wall all day, or talks to the water cooler. And he does this, and we have people that talk with him and people that try to teach him, say, let me teach you some skills. Let me teach you how to work. And the guy refuses. Do I have every right to fire him?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Jesus says, I have that same right. I gave everyone the task to occupy till I come, meaning to go reach people with the gospel and then work with them until they have the evidence of a changed life. I gave you that task. I gave you people to try to train you. I gave you people to motivate you. I got people to do the stuff, but you wouldn't be faithful. You wouldn't do what I asked you to do. So you're fired. You're still in the kingdom, but you're not working for my government. Now that makes sense. We can understand that. You don't want someone working in your government who's going to do nothing. I mean, we got enough of those already in the U.S. government. We want people. Jesus says, I have a perfect government. I want people that I can trust and has proven themselves the ability to work, the ability to be faithful, the ability to be trusted. And so I'm going to take what you have, and I'm going to give it to the guy with 10 pounds. But why the guy with the 10 pounds? Why? Because he's proven himself that he could get stuff done. My mentor, Dr. Reese, used to say that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Why? Because they know how to get stuff done. That's what Jesus did. Why did the guy have 10 pounds? Because he proved himself the ability to work, the busy to get stuff done, even though he was busy. He can still be trusted to get stuff done. Well, that's who I want. If I want someone, if I got an important task to do, I'm going to give it to someone who's already getting stuff done. I don't want to give a task, an important task, to someone who's just been sitting and staring for the last 20-something years. Does it make sense? Now, again, when we're looking at it from a perspective of Jesus ruling the government, we're very understanding. We could see what Jesus is getting across. He has every right with his kingdom to say who's going to rule and who's not, who's going to have what job or not. How do we determine what jobs we get? By doing it right now. Now's our internship. Now's our job application time. Now's the time that we get approved where we're at. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who didn't occupy till he comes. They were servants. They're going to show up to the kingdom, but God's not going to place them within his government to help rule and reign for 1,000 years. By the way, those people are going to miss out, and they know they're going to miss out. That's a whole different discussion for a different time, but that's a big deal. Notice as it goes on. Verse 26, for I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even him that shall be taken away from him. Jesus said very clearly, listen, if you were faithful and obedient, you're rewarded. If you weren't faithful and weren't obedient, it's going to be taken away from you. I'm not going to trust you with this task. Now, again, we can understand that. If you're an employer, I talk to employers all the time. You know what almost every single employer that I talk to all the time asks for? Someone who knows how to work. They're tired of hiring warm bodies that do nothing. That I heard someone say the other day, he said, I gave someone a simple task, go pick up the trash from the parking lot. He looked a couple minutes later when they came back in, there's trash in the parking lot. So he sent another person out. They came back, still trash in the parking lot. He sent a third person out, there's trash in the parking lot. That's normal today. Now, how hard is it to pick up trash? I mean, that's like one of the simplest jobs you can get within any company. You go pick up the trash. I mean, not like little tea, the bags out there, the cups out there. Don't you see them? I didn't say anything. Well, that's because you were staring at your stupid phone, right? I talk to employers all the time. I just want someone who will work. But instead, I'm full of a lot of these people who just occupy space and they do nothing. You know how much money those companies could regain if they just had fewer employees, but those employees knew how to work?
Amen.
You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to give jobs to everyone. If I was an employer, I only want people who work. Why would I want to pay someone who does nothing? Well, if we could understand being an employer perspective, we could understand Jesus' perspective for the government. You know, Jesus said, we said one of our points, there was a misunderstanding concerning the kingdom. Heaven is not, our millennial kingdom is not heaven. The idea of heaven is that a lot of people think of equality, that everyone's going to be the same and equal. Even if it was, that's not the millennial kingdom. Jesus is ruling and reigning and dealing with people for 1,000 years. He wants people who've proven themselves to be faithful. That's a simple requirement, to be found faithful. So when we look at this, we can understand that this is a big deal. We started with a misunderstanding of the kingdom. They thought it was going to be right here and then, and they had many misunderstandings. So Jesus gave this parable to clarify any misunderstandings. He gave them clearly the idea of the parable, that Jesus Christ came down from the glories of heaven to get himself a kingdom, and then he returned, but he's going to come back for it. Until he comes back, he told his servants, "You have one job, to occupy till I come." What does that mean? To bring people to the place of profession of faith and to see evidence of a changed life, as was evidenced in Zacchaeus. But when it came time for the judgment, he went to those servants he gave that task to. Some were obedient and they were rewarded. "I could trust you in my kingdom." Unfortunately, there was some who was not. And whatever excuse they gave, whatever thing they gave, it was not fair, not right, because Jesus truly had given all of them training, preaching, encouragements, trying to give them the Bible. He's given them all kinds of tools to let them know, "You have a job to do. Let me equip you. Let me prepare you. I'm not just asking you to do this without, I want to train you. I want you to be," he's given them all the things. But like so many employees that we have today, that you give all the training they want and they look at you and yawn and go back to their phone. Well, Jesus says, "Well, listen, I don't have a job for you then. I'll give it to people who have worked and proven themselves." Now for us, if you are a Christian with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you should have a desire. I want to be used of God. I don't want for 1,000 years for him to say, "Listen, I didn't trust you, so just sit over there in the corner." That'd be horrible for 1,000 years to say, "I could have been used of God." But instead, I'm set aside. Jesus made it very clear, we're to occupy till we come. All of us have given that task. And all of us will have to stand and meet with the king and give an account as he starts divvying out and giving the responsibilities of who's going to do what within his kingdom. And he has every right to do with what is his, to determine who works for him, to fire whoever he wants, because it's his to do with as he sees fit. With it, we see such an important story of occupying till he comes, and that we all have our responsibility today, that same job, to occupy till he comes. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.